Hello, my name is Chip Ling, and you are listening to Total EM. To join me this week is Patrick O'Malley, and Patrick is the inventor of Irrigate, which is a unique wound irrigation system, which we're going to be talking about in this podcast, as well as some other kind of things to tie in directly with it. And he is responsible for kind of a couple of different things. But like I said, his big thing is the Irrigate device and inventing it. But I'm going to let him describe a little bit more. So Patrick, can you kind of describe your role in the company and what you do?
Sure. Thanks for having me. So I helped develop this device, and it's called Irrigate. It's for irrigation of lacerations and other skin injuries in the emergency department and other acute settings. The device was sold to Centurion Medical Products, which is a subsidiary of Medline Industries. And I work with the company to help educate sales reps about the use of the device so that they can effectively show people how to use it in the field and to make warm leads, warm introductions, physicians, physician assistants, nurse practitioners that I come across who might be interested in using this in their emergency departments. I try to connect their local rep to those people so that they can arrange for a demonstration and hopefully get to use it in their department.
Great. And so tell us a little bit about your background specifically.
Sure. Many, many years ago, I was actually a nurse aide in the emergency department at Carolina's Medical Center in Charlotte. Fell in love with emergency medicine, went to med school at East Carolina, came back to Carolina's Medical Center for residency, finished up in 2007, and I've been in South Carolina practicing emergency medicine. Did a couple years of urgent care, but I'm back in the emergency department. I've been there for about 3 years full-time again now and live outside of Columbia, South Carolina.
Great. So you've got definitely the Carolinian accent. Now, here's the real question. Are there different Carolinian accents? Like, if you listen to someone from North Carolina, is it very different from South Carolina?
Absolutely, yes. We've got North Carolina, you've got Appalachian, you've got the Piedmont Triad all the way out to the coast. Eastern North Carolina, where I went to medical school, very much, it's almost like barbecue. The accents are as different as the barbecue.
Well, the reason why I asked that is that maybe there's a connection with it, because in Missouri, there are several different accents too. And actually, there's like a bit of a Kansas City, St. Louis, there's the Ozarks, and really they're all kind of have different types of barbecue as well. So maybe that's the connection. Maybe it's barbecue is the reason for accents.
Could be.
So now that I'm actually more hungry than I started with this podcast, let's go and talk a little bit more. So how did you come up with this device? I know there's a lot that comes into it, but I just kind of like a quick idea, a quick understanding of why did you get so interested in doing this? Why did you want to create this product?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. When I was in residency, you know, we do a lot of laceration management, wound care, and the whole concept of just pulling saline into a syringe, squirting it through a splash guard over and over and over again, it didn't make sense. And I knew that there had to be a better way. So I kind of played around with several different ideas, but never really had the time, the money, or the expertise to get it to go anywhere. So it kind of got put on the back burner. Fast forward a couple of years, now I'm in private practice. I played around with some different ideas and was able to connect with a group of individuals that helped people develop their device ideas, medical device ideas, consumer device ideas. And we started working together, and we came up with a napkin drawing and realized that we were onto something rather quickly. So we all started working together. We created a small company around this. And within a short period of time, we actually had a 3D printed prototype and decided to start shopping it around and find a company who would share in our vision for this product. And fast forward a few years after that, we actually did find a company and were able to sell the product and come up with a licensing agreement.
And this is patented now, correct?
That is correct. It is.
So I actually have a patent pending thing myself that I've been working on. So I'd be curious, at what stage did you decide to pull the trigger to start the patent process?
After I met with these gentlemen and we created this company, shortly thereafter, we realized that we were onto something and we knew that we needed to get some patent protection. So within a short period of time after, you know, really having the idea, hashing it out, and coming up with a viable product, we approached a patent attorney and quickly got that process going, started off with a provisional patent.
I assume you've been through the FDA approval process as well.
That is definitely a big part of any medical device process. And we were able to get kind of a preliminary interpretation of what this device was going to need from an FDA clearance standpoint. And all of the work that goes into that, it can be quite in-depth, expensive, and in all honesty, in some cases, insurmountable. So that was part of the process that we knew that we were going to need a team approach with. And that was part of the arrangement that we had with any company that we were going to partner with, was to have them help with the FDA part of it.
And for those of you listening who may not quite understand why I'm going through this with Patrick, it's because, like I said, I'm only in the baby steps of where Patrick has been and gone into. And I can tell you that this process is very daunting. Like, it's one thing to come up with a cool idea and everyone's like, oh man, I should have patented that, because they see something a few years later pop up. But realistically, this is a process that takes years. This is not a get rich quick scheme. I think you would agree with that. But this is something that definitely takes the time. But especially with medical devices, I mean, not only do you have to go through the patenting process, but you also have to then go through the FDA or whoever you're going to be dealing with. And then you also have to deal with the international patents if you're going to try and go international with it as well, which I know different kind of patent attorneys have some different viewpoints on it and how that works. But it's all unique process. And the reason why I'm tying that in with this podcast is because I think a big thing and why this is so unique and why it's worth interviewing you and discussing this is because this device is really different, and you put forth a lot of, you got a lot of energy that you've put into this and devoted to making this such a great product, which is why I think it's definitely something to pay attention to versus just saying, oh, well, that was that. And that's a neat little toy and that's the end of it. I feel like this is something that I've only been able to mess with it a little bit, but I've really enjoyed it. And so that's why I want to have Patrick on and talking about this is a process. So if you're someone who's ever interested in an idea here, I think that may be a whole separate podcast to talk about that, maybe with Patrick at some point too. But let's go ahead and let's step into the next part of this. So the Irrigate device, we're going to include things on the show notes because it's something that's a little bit visual. You really have to kind of see how this works. But can you kind of walk us through a little bit of what the device actually is and how you would use it?
Absolutely. So the device, you know, there are a number of different wound irrigation devices that are commercially available. All of them kind of rely on either a push-pull process with a syringe, putting a splash guard on. There's a handful of devices that, screw on to a bottle of saline, a bottle of water, that rely on squeezing a bottle in order to generate any pressure and the flow of the irrigation solution. So what Irrigate is, it's a small cap that screws on to the bottle of saline. And the design of it allows it to be used on every bottle of saline that is commercially available. Anything that you're going to find in your department, it will fit on that bottle. Next, there's about a 10 to 12 foot section of oxygen tubing that connects the cap and the bottle now to the wall mounted oxygen that's ubiquitous in every emergency department. If you're irrigating a wound out in a room that doesn't have wall mounted oxygen or the compressed air, you can easily use a portable oxygen tank. So if you can visualize it, essentially now we've got a bottle of saline that's got this cap that screws onto it, and it's now attached to your wall-mounted oxygen or portable oxygen container. So you turn the oxygen on to 2.5, 3, 5 liters per minute, and the air is now flowing through the cap, but it doesn't do anything because the air is not being forced down into the bottle. It's not pressurized. So there's on the side of the cap, there's a small side port. When you take your finger and you cover that side port, the air gets directed down into the bottle. It's still anything because in the cap, there are five small holes that the water eventually is going to come out of. But once you invert the bottle now becomes pressurized. So very quickly, pressure builds up and it starts to drive the saline out of the small holes in the top of the cap, and you're able to irrigate your wound. The design of it allows you to do that with one hand. So you can hold the cap and the bottle, and that allows your free hand to manipulate a large gaping wound. You can actually lift up the sides of the wound and try to pick out any debris that might be in a contaminated wound. Allows you to get under the surface, under the skin, under the edges of the skin, so that you can really get in there and irrigate the wound out very effectively. Now, if you're using a large bottle of saline, you've got a full liter, you may not need all of that immediately at one time. You take your finger off of the side port, and then you quickly invert the bottle, or I guess evert the bottle back up, and the flow of water stops. You can stop, you can irrigate, you can stop, and do it over and over again as long as you need. If it's a very large wound and you need more saline or more water, you can do one of two things. You can take it over to the tap, you can fill the bottle back up, and you can resume irrigation, you can keep on going. Or if you had another bottle of sterile saline, sterile water, whatever it is that you prefer to use for your irrigation solution, then you can use multiple bottles. So it can go over and over again. The big thing is that it just allows for you to irrigate wounds with plenty of fluid so that you can really take care of the wound, minimize the contamination. I think a phrase that we've all heard at some point in our training is the solution to pollution is dilution. And this device really allows you to put that principle into play. And you've got a large wound that that has a lot of contamination in it. You really are able to put a large amount of volume in it quickly and properly irrigate it. The other side of it is the pressure. And we'll talk about that more in a minute.
To kind of recap a little bit there, I mean, the main thing with this that makes it truly unique is the fact that you've got that set up to either the wall or tank, O2 or air. And I've messed with this a little bit myself because you're kind enough to help me get set up so I can do some samples with it. And one of the things I really enjoyed about that was how easy and intuitive this process is. But one of the biggest things that I thought at first when I opened this up, I was like, this is a lot of tubing. But what people forget about is you need that. You need all that tubing when you're talking about, you know, especially like foot lacerations, for example, where now you're on the opposite end of the bed as the wall unit is. And so don't disregard or think that that's excess. It actually plays a major role. And I've used it a couple of times where I've almost stretched it out all the way, but I didn't have to because there was enough of that tubing there. So I really appreciated having that extra tubing in place to use it a little bit
and
better.
That's an excellent point. That was one of the main things that went into the development and the design of this is going back to my residency days and the setup of our trauma rooms. You know, you'd have the trauma team down, you'd have the orthopedic residents down, you'd have the emergency team, everybody working simultaneously together. And some of the cases that really made me want to come up with this is when you see a multi-trauma patient, they've got an airway issue, you know, somebody's doing the FAST exam, and then they've got an open ankle fracture dislocation. So what's the thing that gets neglected more than anything? Probably the ankle. So this device with the, you know, 10, 12 foot of tubing, I'm able to be down at the foot of the bed. I can properly address that wound, that injury, and put a liter or two of fluid in this open ankle fracture, reduce it, splint it up, and then that patient can go to the OR, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 hours later. So the length of the tubing was definitely intentional, and that's something that we really want, you know, to be used and taken advantage of. But those are the types of wounds that this device was made for.
So let's talk a little bit more about the wounds themselves and kind of the evidence, or in a sense, the lack thereof. which you openly acknowledged. I mean, there's just not much out there, at least as far as talking about like lacerations and stuff like that. There's been some evidence with abscesses, but as we were talking about before the podcast, and I can kind of include this because I did a podcast, I think a couple of years ago at least, where we talked about the fact that, you know, prior for abscess management, irrigation isn't usually necessary for at least simple cutaneous abscesses. Now, obviously, there are different abscesses where you're going to need a lot more irrigation. But with your product, when it comes to wounds, you know, lacerations, stuff like that, what kind of evidence is there in the first place?
Unfortunately, there's just not a whole lot that is out there. You know, lacerations are one of the most common things that we all have learned to take care of and manage in our training. And it's probably the most common procedure that gets done in the emergency department and even in the urgent care settings. You know, with the opening of urgent cares on almost every street corner, it's not uncommon to see large lacerations walking into the urgent care setting as well. But that's the problem, is that there really are no recent, well-done, randomized controlled trials that look at, you know, the best method for wound irrigation. And I think a lot of this is just kind of common sense. It's, we make the assumption that, you know, irrigation is important, which we do know that has been proven. But, you know, in terms of doing side-by-side comparisons, there's just not that data that's out there. And I think for me, what this device has allowed me to understand and be able to utilize in my practice is that if I've got a large laceration, one of the main things that is a limiting factor in our busy, chaotic, hectic emergency departments is time. And if I've got a large laceration and I'm using the recommendation of 50 to 100 cc's of saline per centimeter of laceration, which is one of the recommendations that is taught and handed down. You know, if I've got a 10 centimeter laceration and I'm using a 20 cc syringe, that's going to take time. And I think a lot of us, you know, we all do it. We cut corners, we take shortcuts, and we're not giving that wound its best opportunity for irrigation, therefore reducing the risk of infection.
And really, when it comes down to the actual evidence side, I mean, you sent me a couple of papers from Singer et al. And I mean, most of this is actually using needles or catheters, not even actually using devices similar to yours, such as like the splash cap device where it's through bottles. That seems to be even less common to find anything there. So I admit in my practice, fortunately with what I have, between the samples for your device I've been using recently and then the splash cap device, I'm not even using, and I'd say about 95% of cases at least, am I even using the little syringes. About the only time I do the syringe is for like a very, very simple, like tiny laceration that doesn't need 250 cc's or more of irrigation. Like it could probably use, you know, 20 to 50 cc's and that's about it. So I'm just going to clean this a little bit, just make it look, you know, a little more presentable, and then I'm going to fix it, versus using, you know, large amounts of irrigation.
Absolutely. And the indications for using irrigate, you know, even as the guy who helped develop this thing, it's not something that I use for every laceration or even on a daily basis. This is definitely used when you have a larger laceration, deep laceration, contaminated laceration, you know, dirt, debris, things like that. The times that I tend to use it the most are large scalp laceration. I've got a lot of blood, dirt, debris, motor vehicle accident, glass. You know, they were ejected, and you've got a lot of grass and wounds. Dog bites. I've actually used it several times. Just take the patient, if they've got a lot of dog bites on their arms and hands, you can take them over to the sink. They can stand at the sink. I can irrigate one bottle, fill it up with tap water, and do it again. So, you know, this is not for the small 1 centimeter, 1.5, 2 centimeter lacerations when the child runs into a coffee table and they've got a small laceration in their eyebrow. You know, this is definitely for the larger wounds that, you know, need the irrigation and you're concerned about possibly with the risks of the wound getting infected. And you want to give it the best opportunity for irrigation and for reducing that risk of infection.
So let's talk about a little bit about just my experience with it so far, which is pretty limited, admittedly, because I've just only recently started using it and using the samples that you so graciously helped provide. But that way, so someone can see kind of like, I have no direct connection with you guys. I mean, you literally just gave me some product to sample. I've noticed that overall, like I said, I like the tubing length. I think that's very easy to work with. Like you said, you can actually take the patient all the way to the sink and there's enough space. Usually there's enough of that tube that you can do that pretty easily. Or you can use kind of the sometimes collection buckets as well to collect. So I've done this a few different ways, but it is, I pretty much will always connect it to a liter of normal saline as far as like the actual bottles of it. And the reason why is because, you know, this goes through that really quickly, especially when you turn the pressure up. So I just plow through it, like really, really clean it out. Like the video show, which we'll include on the website in the show notes, you can easily start and stop and keep reinspecting the wound and kind of clean things up a little bit better as you go. And then, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, we can always kind of reuse the bottles or get more bottles. It's pretty easy to exchange. One thing I've noticed, though, which you said you kind of anticipated, is that it does make a bit of a mess. The big thing I've noticed is a bit of a splash factor. And I think part of that's because of the kind of force and pressure behind it. Now, the splash caps that exist, I actually get a little annoyed. They have a little slit. I understand why the slit's there. It's meant to help contain and then redirect it to one direction. But if you're not paying attention, like I sometimes don't, you get splashed in the process and that's no fun. But I've noticed this kind of goes off to all directions. It's something you have to be very conscious of. But as far as the excess water, which you will inevitably create by this, there's some easy ways, whether you go to the sink or in a bucket. But the neat thing that you have in one of your videos is actually using the wall suction. Can you discuss that a little bit?
We knew when we developed this that that's going to be the major complaint is the mess. And I think there's a couple things that you can do. One, the splash cap that's built in, that is the device, it has scalloped edges like several other splash caps actually have. So the thing with this is you can really put it down on the surface of the wound. So you're able to get it right on the skin surface, and that helps limit the splash and the water droplets going everywhere. Is really put the device right on the wound and get it in there and use it to irrigate the tissue out. So putting it directly on the skin, that really helps with limiting the splashback. The other thing is I usually use some of the super absorbent, highly absorbent Chucks pads that are available, not the real flimsy one that look like your dog pads, but the really super absorbent ones that can hold a gallon or so of fluid. So I usually try to put one or two of those under the area that I'm going to be irrigating. If I'm doing something up on the head, I'll try to wrap a towel or two around the patient's neck just to prevent it from going down. So it, you know, it's a device that it really does take a little bit of practice. There's a little bit of trial and error, and you know, get a sample or two, have them in your department, let everybody play around with them, use them. But it does. It takes a couple times before you will get 100% comfortable with using it and being able to minimize some of the mess. One of the videos that Chip just alluded to, one with a dog bite on the back of the knee. I just tried this recently for the first time and it worked really, really well. So I took the suction catheter, you know, that you use for the ink hour suction, and just took the tubing itself and laid it down adjacent to the wound. So whenever the water was coming off of the wound, it sucked it right up to the wall-mounted suction. So those things, I think, will hold a liter to liter and a half. So as you're irrigating, you're basically sucking it right back up. And that really made a huge difference in being able to contain the mess and making it a much more pleasant process for the patient and for the physician or PA that's doing it. So using the suction was a big help.
Yeah, and this is a lot better than what I have been doing. And I don't know why I didn't think about doing the suction before. But what I usually do is I put at least two Chucks pads underneath the area I'm going to irrigate, because one is for the actual collection. And I'm doing the same thing you are, the super absorbent, like pink Chucks pads, the ones that can hold quite a bit. And so I'm irrigating that mess, and I will usually funnel it into like a trash can to help collect it, or into a bucket, and then I'll dump it that way. But that means you have to make the whole Chucks pad wet in the process, which means you have to take it off, which is why I had the clean Chucks pad underneath. But I didn't think about, hey, just have the suction. And yeah, you'll still want to replace the Chucks pad underneath, but at least you're not making this big mess. And like, for example, when you said the knee is probably going, you know, all that saline that's been wet and dirty is now going to go towards that patient's groin, or it's going to go down to their foot. And it's just going to make a huge mess otherwise. So like, this can at least contain it just a little bit better. So I think that's a good general tip, even outside of what we were just talking about for specifically your device.
Absolutely.
So additionally, Patrick, I mean, most of the audience who's listening here, they're practicing in rural and remote settings, or, you know, mostly in emergency medicine. And of course, we've got different people listening, even actually around the world too, where they're going to look at this device and want to know, how is it going to work best for me? So I understand we've got the big lacerations that we're talking about, you know, the gaping wounds, the bites, stuff like that. But what other types of wounds, or how can we directly use this in our practice setting?
Sure. I think that, you know, this device allows for us to take care of traumatic injuries that there may be some delay in definitive care. So you've got any open fracture, you know, anything that you're having to reduce and put back in, any open wounds, open injuries, open fractures, where, like, the, for me, I work in a small town emergency department now. We have excellent orthopedic surgeons, but they're not going to be rushing in at 3 a.m. to take, you know, every single open fracture to the operating room. It may be 3-4 hours later before they're able to do that. So it allows us to take care of those wounds, irrigate them out very well, reduce any fracture dislocation, and bandage them up, and then they can go to the OR when they're able to do so. Another set of injuries that this can be very helpful with, and I've used it myself with this, is road rash. You know, you've got somebody, motorcycle accident, large surface area, abrasions with a lot of debris. And of course, after medicating them, taking care of their pain, this is a lot more comfortable and pleasant to have the wounds irrigated with this, as compared to rubbing them with gauze and washcloths and things like that, which of course, you know, may in fact have a role with cleaning up the wounds. But this is just it's another way to take care of those types of wounds that would be very time consuming otherwise.
Perfect. So as we're wrapping up here, Patrick, is there anything else you wanted to make sure to mention?
Since a lot of your listeners are out in the rural areas where there may be in transportation and getting patients to trauma centers and things like that, you know, again, that's another potential for people to utilize this device and providing good quality irrigation prior to transport. So if you're in those types of centers, that type of a setting, it may be something that you want to take a closer look at.
We'll include this in the show notes too, about how you can actually get samples yourself and how to contact the companies, so that way you can start trialing this device and hopefully, like me, enjoy it and find its benefits, and we can go from there.
Feel free to reach out to me if you want to connect on LinkedIn. I'll give Chip my email address, and he's able to put that out there. And I'm happy to do whatever I can to help connect you directly to the sales rep as well.
So, Patrick, I know everyone's going to want to ask this, but what does this cost per unit?
Great question. And with all medical devices, there's definitely a lot of variability when it comes to pricing, but the company has the list price as being $8.97 per unit. So it's definitely not cost prohibitive. It definitely costs more than syringe and splash guard, but it's not something that is cost prohibitive.
And realistically, at least for me, I mean, you're not using this on every wound anyway. This is going to be for the ones that you're going to really want the extra stuff. So if that's the case, then make the investment for it. Make your life easier. I mean, we tend to, with the big, nasty lacerations, use the heavier equipment in a sense anyway, the things we're not always going to be using. So they're going to be more costly wounds to repair, but also these are wounds that we are usually getting more reimbursement from.
Absolutely. And I've even seen and heard from people who use pulse lavage systems in the emergency department. And from what I understand, you know, those are in the $100 to $150 per unit cost range. So this is definitely more cost effective than using something like that.
All right. Well, thank you again, Patrick, so much for coming on. I'd love to talk to you about this more, and maybe we'll even have a follow-up podcast to discuss some other things as well. But can you go ahead and give us the tagline, please?
Absolutely. Until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.